Welcome into ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno and Shaka Hislop. It's been a midweek match day and there is lots to discuss, but we will start with what was a thrilling game at Old Trafford between Manchester United and Arsenal. In fact, it harked back to some of the old days with meetings between these two in terms of excitement, you have to say. Controversy in the 13th minute when this happened. Arsenal have a corner. David De Gea goes down injured here in the box. And Emil Smith Rowe goes on to score.
Smith Rowe just, ball comes loose, comes to him, he scores, but as you see from the replay, quite clearly, it's Fred who matches De Gea on the ankle, who goes down, stays down, turns his back on the play. Smith Rowe doesn't know any better. He finishes it off.
Yeah, a bit of a wait to see what would happen here. It would be awarded Arsenal 1-0 up. And then just before the half, Manchester United would find the equaliser as Bruno Fernandes.
Nice little combination from the left-hand side. Jadon Sancho finds the run of Fred coming out of the midfield. And then good drop-off pass from Fred and a nice finish from Bruno Fernandes.
What did you guys make of this moment? It's Tomiyasu going down in the box under a yank here by Harry Maguire.
Yeah, let me tell you something. This ball does not get a touch and goes through. The referee has no choice but to point to the spot. But because of the flick on, Maguire is saved.
Into the second half, and this would be a go-ahead goal for Manchester United and Cristiano Ronaldo's 800th.
So if he scored 800 goals, maybe you want to pick him up inside the 18-yard box, I'm just going to say.
But almost instantly, Arsenal would find the equaliser through Martin Odegaard.
Nice finish from Odegaard, not the cleanest of hits, but with United backtracking and De Gea unsighted, sneaks in bottom corner.
And then we take it to the 67th minute and Odegaard goes from hero to zero here. Foul spread, initially no call, but VAR took a look.
And the challenge by Odegaard on the sliding tackle on Fred. Fred knows exactly what he wants to do, puts his leg on the path of Odegaard. It's called as a penalty after they go to VAR. And then Ronaldo says 801.
8-0-1 and 3-2, it finished to United, taking all 3 points in this game as Michael Carrick now steps down and the Ralf Rangnick era will begin. As for your Manchester United in the Premier League standings, that win takes them up to seventh. And as mentioned, it will be a new manager in charge next time. A big win like that may be a good platform for Ralf Rangnick to build on as we now welcome in Frank Leboeuf and Don Hutchison. And I want to start with you, Frank, and I want to start with the controversy in this game that we saw with Arsenal's opening goal. What did you make of it?
Well, it's normal for me that the referee give the goal and allows it because it comes from, as Shaka said, from Fred. So nothing to say about that. Now I have a, you know, it depends where you stand. If you're a Manchester United fan, you find that unfair. If you are a Gunner fan, you find that just normal. And in a neutral point of view, I just find it not very fair play. I would say not very classy from maybe Mr. Arteta. I think I remember Paolo Di Canio, I think he was playing for West Ham, and Shaka maybe can witness that, where a goalkeeper got injured. And the forward player crossed the ball to Di Canio, who stopped the action, took the ball with his hand, and in fact said to the ref, we have to stop, the goalkeeper is injured. And he got the fair play of the year. I may be too romantic in a modern football, but I think it would have been a very good idea to say to Arteta, to his player, you know what, it's unfair, De Gea got injured, whatever happened in that action, and we let Manchester United scoring a goal and we start from scratch. It would have been fantastic. It's not.
It didn't happen like that though, Shaka. What's that face for?
What? Because I disagree with Frank.
Okay. I understand the parallel
with what happened. I played in that game against Everton. Paul Gerrard goes down injured. It was a serious injury. Players kind of know when there's a serious injury. Gerrard had to be substituted. It was very late in the game, I know, but Gerrard had to be substituted. And Di Canio decided not to score. That being said, West Ham were the wrong half of the table. In the dressing room, everybody's looking at it like, Di Canio, what are you doing? We thought he should have finished it off. We could have done with the points. That being said, in this game here and in this circumstance, that's not a serious injury. I don't think how I can't see how anybody
well, that
sees
you don't
it.
Know that you don't know at the moment it happens. Shaq,
on,
I'm
Frank,
sorry, you
Frank,
don't know.
You know,
serious
Frank,
or not.
You can tell when a player goes down with a serious injury, and this wasn't it. At no point anybody thought that. And in fairness to the Arsenal players, I don't think anybody saw De Gea go down, and particularly Odegaard. Once the ball comes to him, he's trying to score. He's just trying to get it on target. Not, you know, not the greatest of strikes, but because De Gea is down, it goes in. So the referee had no choice but to allow the goal because no foul was committed. I don't put any blame on the Arsenal players because they don't see it. For me, you know that's not a serious injury. I'm yet to see somebody get stepped on the ankle in that manner and it having an impact on them in the way that it did with De Gea here, let alone anything further. So I have no issue at all with the goal standard.
It is not the responsibility of the players to stop the play. That's why they're not on the field to stop the play. They're on the field to play the game, and the ball pops out to Smith Rowe. He's going to hit a volley. He's going to put it on target. He's doing his job. If the referee thinks that De Gea is greatly injured, then he stops the game. That's why he's on the field. Let's stop trying to do everybody else's job. It's not the player's position to referee the game. It is the responsibility of the referee. If the referee thinks that De Gea is on the goal line, dying, passing out, oh my goodness, what's happening with David De Gea? We have to stop the game. Then do so ahead of Smith Rowe hitting the shot. Otherwise, it's a goal and move on. And by the way, from my perspective, What I saw today from David De Gea was more confirmation that at times he can be a little soft. Because any other goalkeeper that I've ever seen that has gotten stepped on or pushed or elbowed, at the very least, they finish the play, and then after that, they go down. That's a whole other point of discussion, but I'm just here to tell you, it is not the player's responsibility to stop the game. It is the referee.
Frank?
Yeah, I think maybe my English is not good enough, you know, because I guess I was completely misunderstood by Shaka and Ali. I never say that the players had to stop the game. I talked about Arteta maybe seeing the action and maybe saying in a wonderful world of fair play, saying maybe, oh yeah, the goal, because you have nothing to say about the goal. The referee did what they had to do, and I have nothing to say about that. It's a goal. But now, in a way you want to do... Another second, Shaka. I just want to finish. The players don't have to stop because they don't see anything. But nobody saw if it was a serious injury or not, because nobody see that. And this was the same for Gerard when he can't stop the goal, because he saw it was serious or not. I just want to say that it's not about the players. Everything was perfect. In a perfect world, it's just my romantic way of seeing football where that goal is stupid because maybe there are, you know, play, you know, was a fantastic comedian or a fantastic actor and didn't do what he had to do. But at the end of the day, there is an injury. It's a stupid goal. He would have been on his feet. It wouldn't have been a goal because I don't think Smith Rowe would have scored. But it's just thinking about what would have been for me the best thing to do.
There's, but Frank,
I'm
Frank,
not talking
why,
about the players
why,
again.
Why, Frank, why punish Arsenal no. when Fred is the one from his own team that kicks his own goalkeeper?
No, what Frank
on
is saying is Arteta, after the goal is given, Arteta could say to his players, let Manchester United go up the other end because of this injury, which nobody knew was that serious. Mind you, Frank, to that point, when the game is kicking off for the goal and Arteta has seen the injury, De Gea is back on his feet, standing on his goal line, so everybody in the stadium knows it's not that serious. So while your point is there's no way that anybody knew how serious the injury was, by the time the ball is back on the spot, by the time the game resumes, everybody knows because De Gea is back in goal. So at this point, Arteta, who I'm sure, given the technology, has seen the incident, has seen De Gea get the magic spray and back on his goal line. That's not his responsibility.
Meanwhile, Don, it was a good win for Manchester United ahead of a new era beginning for them. Did you notice any differences tonight in the game, played of United? Go on.
Well, quickly, I just want to jump in on the debate because, I don't know what world I'm living in. In a game against Arsenal versus Man United, Frank wants Arsenal to give a goal to Man United in that sort of situation when Fred fouls his own goalkeeper. Absolutely ridiculous. And what I have to say as well, brilliant refereeing from Martin Atkinson, because he thought he just about went to blow the whistle and then he realised and then he waited until the ball was over the line. So then they checked it by VAR and they said legitimate goal. I mean, I had no idea what world Frank's living in when he thinks Arsenal are going to give Man U a goal. But it was a brilliant game. What I have to say, Kay, the game was sensational. You know, these young Arsenal players went to Old Trafford and Martinelli, I know Ronaldo got two, and he got his brace and he was very good. And Dallow was good at right back and was a good performers. But I thought Martinelli and Smith Rowe and Ødegaard early on in the game were absolutely sensational.
Should they feel hard done by then, Don, at all, Arsenal, for not taking more from this match?
They should have done, because it was a ridiculous penalty that Ødegaard gave away. It was a lazy tackle. He was just fading in the game. He got a bit tired. Fred was quite streetwise in the fact that he stood still and forced the contact, but it was a stupid foul to give away. So you're looking at a 2-2. And Man United at that present time were there to be beat. Arsenal were on top in the first half. They were on top in the second half. And in the end, I think you'll hear Mikel Arteta praise his young players, because to go away to Old Trafford and dominate the ball and create some really good chances, I think he'll take lots of positives. They got spanked against Liverpool a couple of weeks back and that was a lesson. But he can be pleased on how his young team performed tonight, I thought.
Frank, do you think that Arsenal were denied a penalty that they should have had when Maguire took down Tomiyasu?
Of course. It's crazy. I don't know what people are doing in the booth, you know, for the VAR, because you have to be blind to not willing to call the referee and say, oh, whoa, well done, hold on a second. You know, there is a foul. There is a big one. And it, of course, a penalty. It has to be a penalty. And just to jump on the Ødegaard thing, I think it's why we never ask Ali Moreno, Jürgen Klinsmann and Alessandro Del Piero to come down and tackle, you know, when you're not a defender. Because we can see it with Ødegaard, they don't know how to tackle and they make stupid mistakes.
Hey, thank you, Frank. Thank you. That's the first and last time that my name has ever been mentioned alongside Jürgen Klinsmann and Alessandro Del Piero. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You see, appreciate it. You see, the same level for me. Same level, yeah. No problem, no ranks.
Don, who's Ralf Rangnick impressed with tonight after that game for United?
Do you know what? I don't think many, Kay. I think he'll look at that game tonight and I think he'll analyse the game and he'll watch it back again and he'll be watching thinking, I've got a lot of hard work ahead of me. Bruno Fernandes was really good, but there's lots of bad performers. I thought Maguire looked a little bit average. I thought Lindelof the same. Rashford was poor. He'll certainly want more off Sancho. Sancho will get better, I think, under Rangnick. But he's still got the age-old problem. Does he play Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes in the same side? He's still got Fred and Scott McTominay behind. So when you look at that 11 that started tonight, even though they got a win, I think he's looking towards maybe a January window and therefore in the summer as well, thinking I need to do a lot of surgery to this side.
Ali, Ronaldo, benched in the last game, comes in this game, scores two goals.
So don't bench Ronaldo, is that what you're saying?
Right. Well, is it a case of Ralf Rangnick shouldn't be benching Ronaldo?
I certainly don't think so. If I'm putting together my starting lineup for Manchester United right now, okay, right? I'm writing down my lineup. Here we go. Ronaldo, number one. Ronaldo, number two. Ronaldo, number three. I have Ronaldo on that field, regardless of who they're playing, when they're playing, it doesn't matter. Ronaldo's playing. Everybody else, we can do without. Ronaldo will be on the field. I don't care who the manager is, by the way.
The crazy thing, I was hearing this week that Ronaldo can't play 90 minutes. Huh? I mean, the kind of excuses that we've been hearing about why Ronaldo needs to be dropped is just simply farcical. Now, I say tongue fully in cheek, Ronaldo again didn't last 90 minutes, I guess you could see. Let's be honest, 87 minutes, that kind of performance. The rhetoric around Ronaldo, his importance, how he fits into Rangnick, I think has been disingenuous. Ronaldo, you have to build Manchester United. Right now, we're talking about between now and the end of this season, whatever happens in January has to be with Ronaldo in mind and how you build your team around that. After that, you can figure out what happens going forward in terms of competing with the top three. But if we're talking about finishing fourth, Ronaldo is key to everything that happens between now and May.
Would you agree with that, Don?
I would, because a lot of people say Ronaldo's the problem. Well, dear me, I mean, the guy's incredible. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the stat is when he has been benched, Man U have never won this season. So it just goes to show his importance with the likes of Rashford, Jadon Sancho, the young players. You can imagine what he's like in the dressing room as well. So I think if you're Ralph Rangnick, I think what you do with Ronaldo, you get the best out of him and you use him because you know what he wants. You know Ronaldo just wants goals. So if he's going to supply you with goals every single game or more often than not, why wouldn't you play him? Just because it doesn't fit a pressing sort of style. Well, there's different ways of playing. You can get other players to press for Ronaldo. Cantona was never a presser at Man United. He played as a number 10. Dennis Bergkamp wasn't a presser at Arsenal. He played in behind the likes of Ian Wright. So he wasn't a presser either. And the list goes on. Gianfranco Zola, he wasn't someone that really ran around the pitch and covered 15K a game. But Chelsea relied on his quality because he was a magician. So there's different ways you can use Ronaldo.
Frank, what's your thoughts on it?
Some people are going to say... Yeah, some people are going to say, you know, because they listen to us, yeah, but you forget that Ronaldo is aging and he might not be able to play all the games. I think it's an easy coaching to solve the problem out. You go to Ronaldo and say, well, you know, I know you're 36 or 37. I want to make sure you don't get injured. I want to make sure you're fit enough. So do you want to play tomorrow? Do you want to play Sunday? And if he says yes... Yeah, let him play. He knows it. He's a professional player. He knows if he's fit. He knows if he's at risk. So just ask him. If he wants to play, let him play. That's easy.
Let's move on to another game that happened in the midweek round. It was Spurs taking on Brentford. Spurs hadn't played in a while after that loss in the Europa Conference League. So they were out to get a good result under their belt tonight, and they did just that. In the 12th minute, they benefit from an own goal. It's Sergi Canos here putting the ball in his own net. Spurs getting lucky.
Just under pressure. And then into his head. I mean, not a whole lot you can do about that.
And then we take it just to the 65th minute here. And you'll see some nice delivery from Reguilon. And it is Minson who scores.
My kind of range, Kate. Deadly from there.
2-0 it finished for them. We take a look at the match stats. It said that Antonio Conte has been evaluating his squad before the transfer window. We'll take a look at where they are in the stands. So far, 6 just behind Arsenal. But Antonio Conte has admitted that the Spurs job is his biggest challenge. Is that a fair point, Don?
I think it is. I think when he looks at that squad, especially after the Mirror game where he wouldn't have saw that result coming, he'll still think top four's on. There's 3 places that have gone Champions League. The top 3 are well clear. So there's 4 teams fighting for that 4th position. But he knows he's got it all on. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he goes back to Inter and into Serie A in January and tries to bring a defender in. They're desperately needing some centre-backs and maybe a full-back. They've got enough at the top end of the pitch. But he knows. And I think the Burnley game being called off the other day done Tottenham a bit of a favour. They looked a bit fresher tonight. So I think what I'm hearing behind the scenes, after the Burnley game, they came in for a couple of days. They've done extra training, more running. So he's trying to get them up to speed. He's trying to get them fitter. Because the start of the season, they weren't particularly great at closing teams down and shutting players down and covering the distances. So he'll get them going, that's for sure. But again, a bit like Man United, some players need to be brought into that club.
If you'd like to hear more from Don Hutchison talking about the midweek round, he joins Gav and Jules this week.
I want to hear that.
On the Gav and Jules podcast.
Well. Behind the scenes. Don.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Bayern Munich on top of the table. Borussia Dortmund just behind them in second. As we now welcome in Derek Ray, who will, of course, be on the call for this one on Saturday. They're close in the standings, Derek, and it looks as though this is going to be a very close game as well, with Borussia Dortmund's upward curve and results coming their way. Can we expect that?
It has all the makings, Kay, I think it's fair to say. We're very excited about this one. And Dortmund, in a sense, have come from nowhere because their form has been strange. In the Champions League, they've not been great. I think the players would admit that. But in the Bundesliga, they've developed the knack of winning ugly, if you like. Now, Marco Reus is not a player who usually wins ugly. He can do it with style, goals like that. They'll be depending on him. But I think there's a feeling in the Dortmund camp that with Erling Haaland back now and 50 goals in 50 Bundesliga matches, you cannot argue with that. And you showed there the range of goals that Haaland can score. But with him leading the line and confidence at a higher ebb, there's every chance that Borussia Dortmund can win this game, and the personnel situation might actually be in their favour as well.
Yeah, we'll absolutely get to that in just a moment. But on the other side, you've got Bayern Munich, you've got Lewandowski, who's still continuing to play at his best. And we're also seeing some great stuff from Leroy Sané too, Derek.
Absolutely, yeah. Lewandowski, and there's an example of what he can do. He's not just about finishing from close range. That was against Hoffenheim a few weeks ago. And yet, for once, he didn't score against Bielefeld in the last match. It was hard work from Bayern, but Leroy Sané did score. 40 shots he's taken this season, 21 from outside the box. And with that important shot with the left foot, three valuable points for Bayern when they weren't necessarily at their best. So the question is, will Bayern be at their best? They usually are when it comes to these games against their rivals. Every time we build up a rival, Bayern almost have another gear to go to. We saw that against Leverkusen a few weeks ago. So Bayern fans will be hoping more of that.
Julian Nagelsmann, as you touched on, does have a bit of a headache, especially in the number six role this weekend with some of the absentees that he's got due to injury.
Yeah, personnel-wise, it's fascinating because Joshua Kimmich is so important for Bayern. He's definitely out because of COVID. Watch out for the news concerning Leon Goretzka. Now, if he's missing as well because of a hip problem and he had to sit out of Wednesday training, he broke off during Thursday training. If he's out, then you're looking at maybe Corentin Tolisso and Jamal Musiala as an improvised central midfield player. Now, he can play there, and we know how skillful he is. He wins his challenges as well as being artistic. But that is a drop-off, you've got to say, in comparison with Kimmich and Goretzka. Jude Bellingham for Dortmund, also somebody really significant. Now, I'm hearing that the signs are better, that he has a chance of playing. So let's say that he plays. Let's say that Goretzka doesn't play. Then maybe, just maybe, it is advantage Dortmund in that key midfield area. So all the more reason, if you're a neutral, to watch this game. You might think, yeah, Bayern hold a historical edge. They've won five in a row against Dortmund in the Bundesliga. But Borussia Dortmund could be onto something here.
Meanwhile, Derek, it'd be good to know from you about these restrictions that the German government have reimposed, and this game will be affected too due to COVID, right?
Yes, unfortunately, from a spectacle point of view, that is the case, but understandable given the health situation in Germany. So 15,000 is what we're looking at. And the rule essentially is you can have 50% capacity, but only in smaller venues, up to a maximum of 15,000. And as we know, the Signal Iduna Park is not a small venue. In some other parts of the country, there will be Geisterspiele, as the word is used in German, ghost games, no fans. So that'll be the case actually for Bayern's next couple of home games and other parts of Germany as well. But 15,000, it's not ideal from the atmosphere point of view, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, and it's Borussia Dortmund against Bayern Munich, and Derek Ray is on the call, so make sure you tune in with us on ESPN+. Listen, I don't think that this week we've talked enough about the Ballon d'Or.
Oh, not that again.
No.
Don't get him angry again. No. I don't want to see Shaq angry.
Well, here's the thing. Shaq got angry because of the way it worked out. Okay. We feel as though France football may have got some of it wrong. So what we've done is we've done the ESPN FC Ballon d'Or. All of us gave our top five players of who we thought should have won the Ballon d'Or in order. and they have decided to put them all together and tell you if it was decided by ESPN FC, this is how it would be looking. Now, this is the first time I'm seeing this myself. In at number 10, Harry Kane. Number 9, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Do we get to say anything or not?
If you want, it looks like we've got time.
Erling Haaland, 8. What to do with those three?
Hold on a second. Somebody had Harry Kane.
That's what I'm thinking.
Ruben Dias in at number 7.
That sounds like a lot of Don Hodges.
There's the man that carried Jorginho, isn't it, Shaka? Yeah.
That's the one.
Right?
That's the one.
Most of the last five. There is Jorginho.
There you go.
He's jumped down off Kante's back.
There we were.
Into number 4.
Okay, that's
fair enough.
No,
number
please.
3, Karim Benzema, the choice of jewels.
What?
Number 3, goodness me.
Who could be number one
but Robert Lewandowski?
Is this going to make you angry again or not?
No, I'm not. I'm all angried out.
All right, everybody's here. We have Xhaka is all Ballon d'Or'd out. Derek, Robert Lewandowski, the winner in ESPN FC's ballot.
Yes. Can I betray the fact that I voted for him? I think Don voted for him as well.
Yes.
I don't know about Frank, but yeah, I mean, this should have been Lewandowski's year. Listen, Gerd Müller, way back in the early 1970s, setting a record that nobody was ever going to break. Nobody in Germany thought that would ever happen. And up comes Lewandowski all these years later and does the impossible. That alone should have got him the Ballon d'Or. He didn't get the Ballon d'Or, but I'm sure he'll be very happy to receive this award from ESPN FC. I'm going to inform him myself.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Derek. We also haven't heard from you, Ali Moreno.
Well, first I have to say, I am so concerned about you, Xhaka. To see you worked up the way that you have been over the last few days about this, the wingspan's flying everywhere, the arms, the fingers, everything going in all sorts of different directions. And I'm going to say, I would have given this award to Robert Lewandowski. Now, I love me some Messi. And man, let me tell you, was I excited to see Lionel Messi win Copa America. But I just thought that this year, Robert Lewandowski deserved the award. And I'm not going to talk down Lionel Messi. I would also say that there have been better years for Lionel Messi in which he hasn't won the award. Now, that's more of a consequence of the fact that he's competing with Ronaldo and both at their best. Regardless, I just thought this year belonged to Lewandowski. This is not a shot on Lionel Messi. Please, Xhaka.
I totally understand.
Please don't.
It's been keeping Don up at night, I have to say. But we've actually put our ESPN FC top five against France Football's top five, so you can see the difference. Had it been left to all of us to do the voting for the Ballon d'Or. Yeah, Don getting kept up at night with things that Xhaka had said. But here we go. Messi and Lewandowski swapping places there. Jorginho and Benzema too, and it is Kante there getting into the Ballon d'Or's top listing. And this is what's been keeping Don up at night, right, Don?
I am still gobsmacked that Mo Salah is down in fifth on our list, and he was seventh in the Ballon d'Or. And if you've not seen it, go and check out his reaction when he got interviewed after the Everton game last night. He got asked about seventh in the Ballon d'Or, and he just laughed and he went, what can I say? It was just ridiculous. Everything that he said and the smile on his face and the tone just said, like, what more can I do? And it's one of them where I've heard all the debate and I was involved in the debate a couple of days ago. And you can't win. You can't, because we've got no idea what the criteria are, because if it's winning trophies, then Lewandowski's not going to win a Euros. He's probably not going to win a World Cup. Egypt are not going to win a World Cup, so he's not going to win the big one. So it's just like, you just got to judge how you see the game. And watch every single player in the big leagues and think, who's been the best player? And I don't think I've met anyone on the panel, apart from Xhaka, that doesn't think it was Lewandowski's year.
We've got a Frenchman with us. Whose top five is better, Frank? France Football's or ESPN FC's?
You know, I was so pleased that you didn't ask anything to me on that matter, you know, because I don't want to put into that conversation because I hate the Ballon d'Or. So, of course, I'm more with the ESPN FC. And I'm pleased that Lewandowski won. Of course, Messi is a fantastic player, but this season, come on. Come on, there is no game between the two. So I don't understand that. But at the end of the day, I don't think Messi is better than
N'Golo Kante or Jorginho in the midfield, defensive midfield. I don't think Messi or Lewandowski are better than Donnarumma in goal. So that stupid Ballon d'Or doesn't make any sense. So please, stop it. Stop it.
Right. Okay, okay. We're going to stop it. Final words.
Why don't you just give Man United a goal?
Yeah, okay.
Just give it to Man United, Frank.
Honestly, are we asking Frank a question regarding Ballon d'Or? Who thought it was a good idea to ask Frank to come in and talk about the Ballon d'Or?
Everybody has to have their word, Alain.
Again, I agree.
Yeah, but he's the only person who has brought up Donnarumma into this conversation. Are you kidding me?
No, just because you're naming the best player in the world. It doesn't mean anything. That's a joke. A best player in this position is normal, but the best player in the world doesn't mean anything. Messi doesn't know how to defend. That's stupid. I think Messi is not as good as
Kimpembe
or Marquinhos as a defender.
So Frank doesn't care about doesn't want to talk about it, and yet he's the only one talking about it.
Okay, no one's talking about it now, but we have all cast our vote for the top 100 players in the men's game.
Did we? All right.
The ESPN FC 100 ranking is back. Make sure you check it out over on ESPN.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Seeing as though Don's on the show, we want to show more and more lists. Yes. It's Xhaka's power rankings time. Real Madrid holding strong at one, Xhaka.
That's right. Well, they continue to win. I'm not sure how you unlodge them until you do something magical to take that spot. City up one, Liverpool. Chelsea dropped after dropping points against Manchester United. That's a big surprise. Everybody else just kind of holding steady. Bayern Munich back in winning ways, back in the top 10. Copa Libertadores champions get mentioned. I can feel Ali just staring at the side of my head, but I paid him no mind. And Porto have put together a nice run themselves. I think it's just two draws in their last 11. Find themselves in at number 10 despite their disappointments in the Champions League.
Obviously, you have been paying so much attention to the Ballon d'Or that you clearly do not care about standings in the leagues whatsoever. Chelsea still above Manchester City.
Yes, but they dropped points two games ago.
But at least you're consistent. At least you're consistent because guess what? Sporting is second. To whom?
Yes.
Porto in the Portuguese league. But no, that's okay. That's all right. Inter, third in Serie A behind Napoli and Milan. No. But it keeps going. Atletico Mineiro, who you dropped out of the top 10 to put in Palmeiras, Copa Libertadores champion, they are third in the Brazilian league, 17 points behind who? Atletico Mineiro, who you took out of the list. 17 points behind.
Because of...
Xhaka, you just used dropped points a couple of games ago as a criteria there.
Uh-huh.
Derek, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Bayern Munich drop points a couple of games ago too?
They did against Augsburg, yeah. They lost to Augsburg. But obviously, Xhaka was very impressed with the win against...
We're not talking about that. We're talking about where it's competitive. Derek, don't worry. Hold on.
We were just talking about how Borussia Dortmund have been getting a great run of results.
Both Napoli and AC Milan have been dropping points in front of late. Uh-huh. Inter have been rallying, so they're in.
Right.
Porto have been being embarrassed in the Champions League, which is why Sporting... Yes, didn't Porto get 5 from Liverpool?
Okay.
Right? And then drew with AC Milan, and which is why Sporting are above Sporting, by the way, same points as Porto.
But they're
second by goal difference, but in better form because...
Uh-huh.
Porto getting embarrassed. So that's cost them. That's all. So you have to look at it that way.
Are you ignoring the 17-point gap between...
The South American... They were focused on the Copa a little bit. Focused. Right? Because they knew. If we win the Copa Libertadores, we'll be in Shaka's top 10. Never mind the league.
Until next week.
This is where it's at.
We need to rename this Shaka's passionate power rankings. I don't think...
Don't get me started.
No.
It's been some week.
See, look at that. See that hand. Look at that
week.
Hand. Look at the wingspan. Look at the finger. Just...
Don, you've usually got something to say.
Oh, no, it must be late, Kay, because I'm sort of half agreeing with Shaq a little bit. I've got no idea how Inter are below Chelsea when Inter have been on fire lately and Chelsea dropped points against Man United and Burnley. So I'm not saying Chelsea are playing poorly, but Inter have been on fire in their last, what, six or seven. But apart from that, you know, it's not bad.
Oh, Don.
Not bad?
Don, go to bed.
I know.
Let's let them agree for once this week.
That's a Scotsman's compliment right there.
No.
Not bad. You don't get any better than that from a Scotsman. I'm taking it, Dom. Thank you very much.
Frank, do you take issue with anything in the power rankings from Shaka today?
No.
I don't know. I don't want Ali to get upset if I say something, so I'm going to say one thing. I think in order to go into that ranking, you have to take in consideration the championship the teams are playing in. So I don't know if the Portuguese league is better than the Premier League, which I don't think it is. I don't think any time Sporting or the Eredivisie with Ajax should be before Chelsea, for example. You know, of before Bayern Munich, because I think you have to understand and to consider again the difficulties of the championship the teams are playing in, and therefore you can make a normal power ranking. So but I don't see, think that any see, team on, no. should no, be see, before so the
Frank
number one in the
Super
Premier
League.
I
just
Frank
think
wants a Super League.
Well, what happens is that Frank is giving Shaka too much credit here. Frank thinks that Shaka actually
the data.
What? Algorithm. That actually cares and studies and watches this team. He shows guessing, Frank. All right. Once you accept that, I think it's a whole lot better.
What's the points gap between Bayern and Dortmund at the top of the Bundesliga, Derek? Because you know I don't know it. So, Derek, I'm coming to you.
Have you been taking notice in today's
What's the
show?
Points gap between Bayern and Dortmund at the top of the Bundesliga? Derek?
Say again, Shaka. Sorry, I missed that.
What's the points gap between Bayern and Dortmund?
At the moment, 1 point.
1 point. What happened between Ajax and Dortmund? I don't need to consider the entire Eredivisie.
See the wingspan?
I just need to consider Ajax.
All right.
See where the algorithm works, Frank.
Let's wrap this up, shall we? We'll get more arguments.
He's the best.
A number
He's
of
the best.
Them. No doubt on extra time because we have Don, Frank, Ali and Shaka on today's show and you can always stay up to date with it on YouTube. Subscribe there.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And... boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
MLS Cup, and the fight to be in it is set. It's Portland taking on Real Salt Lake, and Philadelphia Union against NYCFC. Sunday brings the Eastern Conference final on ABC at 3 p.m. Eastern. You can also catch that game on ESPN Deportes. Would you care to give us some quick picks, Ali Moreno?
Quick picks?
Yes.
Ah. Well, it's hard to pick against Real Salt Lake, given the fact that they should not have been in the playoff to begin with, and yet they continue to win. So it feels like it's written for them to go all the way to MLS Cup. Well, I don't care about destiny. I don't care about what's written. I care about Giovanni Zavarez and the Portland Timbers, who now, because of the run of results that have happened, now they have a chance to host MLS Cup. So if they beat Real Salt Lake, they'll be hosting MLS Cup. What a chance and what an opportunity this is for Portland Timbers. I think they win it. I think the magic for Real Salt Lake, over. As for Philadelphia and NYCFC, again, the big bad wolf that is New England, they're gone. They're gone. And it was an impressive performance from NYCFC. They were better than New England. They deserved to go through. And it comes to an end now because Philadelphia at home will take the air out of the bubble. And it feels like Philadelphia, there is something about them at home that takes everything that you do well as a team. They take that away. They defend well and they'll score just enough goals. I think Philadelphia at home. I'm picking Portland. I'm picking Philadelphia.
Yeah, you can catch that game between Philly and NYCFC. It's the Eastern Conference Final. It's on Sunday at 3 Eastern. ESPN Deportes and ABC will have you covered for that. But that is all we have time for on the latest edition of ESPN FC. But if you'd like to see more debate and argument between these guys and passionate Shaka Hislop, these guys will be back with Don and Frank for extra time.
Wingspan.
Stick around. Welcome into Extra Time. Very calm panel today. Shaka, very chill today.
That's key.
Compared to other shows this week.
I am, usually.
I think. Frank and Don also with us, and Ali Moreno too.
You need a day off, Shaka. and you know you don't mind taking a day off, but you really need
All right.
Shaka, we've got a lot of questions for you tonight. First up from Kartik. Shaka, would you have gone down under that contact from Fred?
I wouldn't have steered down. I can probably safely say that. Listen, I don't know how bad it was, how much it hurt at the time, but unless your leg is falling off, you always see, and this is not just about me or about goalkeepers, but when you're defending a play, players try to get back up. They try to stay in the play. Sometimes the injury gets better of them. But I can't think of another player in a similar circumstance who's just kind of gone down and stayed down in that manner when so much is on the line.
All right, Shaka, again, this is Shaka Hislop's listening face who's asked this. I'm not sure what that is, but anyway, Shaka. Okay, I missed that one. How big of an honour is it for you to be one of the 801 goals Ronaldo has scored?
Let's just say, without me, it would be a whole lot less. One less?
One less.
It would be less.
Yeah, then it would just be 800, around 800.
Question, what is your listening face like? Can you give us a little something? Can you get into character? You know, Frank didn't get into character
last week. That's right.
Can you get into character?
I have to prove myself to be a better actor than Frank.
Uh-huh.
Which camera is this?
Listening face, Shaq.
No, it cannot be. It cannot be.
Yeah. Yeah, you're listening there. It feels like you're listening. Yeah, I think so. You can pull it off, Shaq. Much better than Frank.
Thank you. Thanks, Ali.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ali.
Well, Frank refused to act.
Frank, that's a very dramatic listening face.
Frank refused to be Frank. I don't understand that.
Okay.
Well,
for Ali, go.
No, go on.
He's had enough.
Okay, yeah.
He's had enough
of Shaka this week. Okay, for Ali, what do you think PSG need to do to get the absolute best out of Lionel Messi?
You know, the PSG's issues are not just get the absolute best of Lionel Messi, it's get the absolute best of that front three while still maintaining some balance in the team, some sense of organization. Until they do that, what you're going to see is a team that is broken, a team that will defend as best as they possibly can, and that usually that's not good enough, clear the ball, and then allow these three guys to go in transition and hope that they make something happen. I don't think that's what they were picturing in their minds when they were putting this team together. But the one thing that we know for certain is that if they're all healthy, all three are going to play.
resolving what happens behind them, that's the key for their success.
Frank, I see you had your listening face on then. What do PSG need to do to get the absolute best out of Messi?
Well, I think they need the return of Verratti very quickly, because that's the only guy we can serve Messi and the two others at front in a very good way. And I think they need to play at three to fill up the midfield zone with a bigger number. And therefore, they're going to release the three at front, therefore going to release the defensive the little defensive aspect of the game of Messi, and therefore, you know, make him better.
Don, the referees have allowed more physicality since the Euros. Has this been a positive change for football?
Absolutely. The game seems so much better to watch when players are not just diving. They didn't back themselves to get out of a little corner, or didn't fancy themselves to do a trick. They would just sort of slow down and wait for a contact and hit the floor, and it was a bit embarrassing. Now you're seeing referees just saying to players, come on, get up, and players just get on with it. And you watch the game, it flows better. It's easier on the eye. I think fans like it. When you watch it on the telly, the game seems to move a little bit quicker as well. So it's so much better.
Quick question for Don. Isn't that exactly what Fred did today for his penalty? He slowed down and waiting for the contact from Odegaard?
Yeah, but Odegaard was stupid by diving in, wasn't he? You could see that alley coming. You could see that penalty coming from an absolute mile off.
My point is simply this. Slowing down to draw a foul has happened before the Euros, will happen after the Euros, before the World Cup, post-World Cup. It has happened for years and it will continue to happen. I don't think this is going to matter one way or another.
Ali, it was ridiculous last season, wasn't it? Do you not agree? Like, players were sort of getting the ball under a little bit of pressure and waiting for like a tiny bit of contact, hitting the floor, knowing the referees would give them a free kick. It was like, yourself, man. Do a trick. Do a bit of skill.
Well, you're talking to the wrong guy, Don. I love me when they're calling fouls. I don't have the tricks.
Why is Ali so argumentative today?
Well, because I want to relieve you.
No, I'm just, Shaka, I'm concerned about you. I really am.
I'm concerned about Don. So we've got Detective Don, and now we've also got Psychic Don, because he said we could see that penalty coming from a mile off.
I know.
Yeah. Don, you've got a few facets, right? Okay, this is for all of you. I'll start with you guys in studio. Recently, we've been told that Ronaldo is too old to press/defend. Do the guys have any memories of being told this? It doesn't just matter about pressing and defending. If so, at what age? So basically, at what age were you ever told, if you were, that maybe you're a bit too old?
12 or 13. I was told that I couldn't press a ball at 12 or 13 years old. I'm fairly certain. You can't help us up here at all.
Shaq. When were you pressing the ball?
Well, that's what I'm saying. People, they gave up on me quick. They gave up on me like, you go and go. We can't do it, you out here.
And you thanked them because they did make the right decision.
Well, I was a striker, Ali. That was my strength.
As I said, you thanked them because they did make the right
goals.
Decision.
My strength was scoring goals. This newfangled way of playing the game back then.
Ali.
They didn't tell me I was too old. But all of a sudden, when we got to preseason, one of my last years in MLS, they were thinking about playing me as a central midfielder. And I thought, it feels like this is probably sending me a message that maybe.
And your strength is drawing fouls.
Yes.
Nobody's tactic is we're going to get more fouls in midfield this season.
I'd say it was about as subtle as a break.
Holding midfielder, and all I was doing was shielding the ball and going down.
Really, one free kick 60 yards from goal.
Frank, same for you. At what age, or do you have any memories of being told that you were too old to defend? At what age?
Nobody told me that, but I think it's easier for us to, in a way, hide the fact we are getting too old, because we can compensate, let's say, with the experience. With the young guys you have around you, make them run for you and work more on your anticipation. And therefore, you know, pretend you're still there. You know, I failed my last season for Marseille, that I was getting injured, that I wasn't willing to make the same runs that I used to. So I guess I decided myself to to get out of the system for the sake of everybody.
Frank beat them to it.
There he is.
Done.
I decide. You don't decide.
He told himself.
Yeah. I was. I knew my legs were gone. I was playing in League Two for Luton in my last club, and I was 37, and my knee was shot to bits. And I was just like Ali. I was going back the way. I was going from a number 10 to a holding midfield player. And I can remember drawing Liverpool in the cup at Anfield, and the manager said to me, on the morning of the game, you're playing tonight. And I'm thinking, get in there. I'm playing against Stevie G, central midfield. I went, yeah, where am I playing? Up against Stevie G, central midfield. He went, no, I want you to play centre back. And I've gone, what, up against Fernando Torres? And he's gone, yeah. And I went, Fernando Torres, the quickest player in the Premier League. And he went, yeah. He went, you know what to do. He went, just don't give him any room. Just sit off him for a couple of yards. I swear I had one of the best games I've ever had in my life. Fernando Torres never got a kick. I was about 15 yards behind him on the edge of the box. Stevie G scored 3 from midfield. We lost 5-0.
Dad, I love the honesty. All right, we've recently... Oh, Shaka, this is for you.
What?
Have you ever had one of your own players injure you in a game? And if so, what did you say to him?
Nah, I don't remember any of my players injuring me.
You remember the when I scored on you, Shaq?
No.
Injuring your pride.
You want to tell that story, Shaq?
I don't remember.
would you like to tell it, Ale?
Well, yes. It was a fine day in Houston, Texas, where Shaka and his defender decided that they were going to take each other out, and I jumped on the rebound and essentially walked the ball into the goal.
Hang on, Frank would not have been happy with that decision from you, Ale.
Oh, well, yes. Too bad.
I was injured.
No, he wasn't.
I was
no,
badly.
He wasn't.
He was injured.
Frankie was not injured, I can guarantee you.
That's
that.
Not that's very fair play. That's not for me. Because it was a very hard injury. Check out.
Thank
I
you,
remember.
Frank. Thank you.
Okay. Right, Don.
What a goal that was, by the way.
We've recently seen some unique training practice which the players are enjoying at Barcelona under Xavi. What was your most favourite training session exercise? I'll ask you all this. Don.
Ooh, I tell you, I've done one pre-season that was pretty left field. So Graham Souness was the manager at Liverpool and he decided to put an 11v11 on a pre-season day, which is not too sort of strange. But then with every 10 minutes that had gone by, he decided to take a player off. So it went 11v11, 10v10, 9v9, 8v8 on a full-size pitch, 7v7, 6v6, 5v5. You get down to about 2v2 on a full-size pitch in pre-season. One of the hardest sessions I think I've ever done. Unbelievably hard going from 11 down to about 2 or 3.
So you like the challenge then, Don? Mm. That's what it
well, I was a
like
runner. I was a cross country runner, so I could run for fun. So when I was getting in the Liverpool side, I had Jan Molby one side and Ronnie Whelan the other. So I just done all their running. So running was easy for me. So you get wiser and you get more cute and you get a bit of experience and you get more skillful, I think, as you get older. But when you're young, you just want to run.
If it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. Frank, what was your favourite training exercise?
That's some insights you don't normally get at ESPN FC. I'll add right now, Cameron.
That's a T-shirt.
Oh, man. Well,
a bumper sticker.
That is way too high for this show.
Frank.
For me, it was... we used to do the four defenders plus the goalkeeper against... 8 players, offensive players, and for us it was the trying to keep the clean sheets the longest we could, and it was absolutely fantastic to see the forward getting upset because they were playing only against 5 players, they couldn't score a goal, so we were going stronger and stronger. That was absolutely fantastic. I love that challenge.
And was
I think
that
I
for
heard
club
one,
or country?
Kay, I think I heard one.
Excuse me?
Sorry, go on, Frank.
So, I was just interested,
no, so I didn't
Frank,
hear
given the players that you've played alongside, was that for club or country, those training sessions?
That was with Chelsea. It was okay. Gianluca Vialli's demand, and it was absolutely fantastic to see Gianfranco Zola, Torre Andrefo, Gianluca Vialli, Mark Hughes, and some others getting upset with us. That was great.
Nice. Go on, Don.
No, I think I was reading a book a couple of weeks back or a couple of months back, and I can't remember who it was, but it was someone like Capello was telling a story, or one of the Milan managers, and he was telling a story about a training session one day, and he decided to put a 3v3 on, and the six that were involved, off the top of my head, it was like Maldini, Costa Curta and Baresi, three defenders, and the Milan front three at the time was, I think it was like Ruud Gullit, I think it might be George Weah and another, I can't remember off the top of my head who it was. And apparently all the management staff and all the players, about 20-odd players, just sat back and watched like the three Galacticos up front against these like three legendary centre-backs. And they reckon it was one of the best sessions they've ever seen.
Were you reading The Italian Job by chance by Gab Marcotti? That's got
a lot
of training
sessions. That one just over my shoulder. That one just over my shoulder
somewhere.
That's a
great book if you're interested in training sessions. Mm. And
I've got it. It's got no books up there. There's no books up there, John.
It's over your shoulder, but have you read it?
You pointed over your shoulder. There's not a single book up there.
There is.
That one.
John, can you grab it for us and show us, please?
Where is it? Hang on. I've got Paul Gascoigne's there. I've got Guillaume Balague's Maradona, which I've just finished, which is amazing. And it's up there. It's up there somewhere.
Uh-oh. Controversy.
Yeah. Good job, Matt Cotty isn't on the show today, isn't it? You find that, okay. God. Well, he finds that. Uh-huh. Ali. Oh.
Yeah, shut the light. Let's go.
There he is.
Have you read it,
Don? Oh, my God. Oh, my.
It's got dust on it.
Oh, look, he's conveniently not got his headphones in.
Uh-huh.
Don?
Told you.
Yeah, you told us, but have you read it?
No.
No.
No, it's in Italian.
It's a great read. I can definitely say that. There's a lot about training sessions in it. Ale?
Oldie but a goodie. Small-sided games with bumpers on the outside. You would have a target man on either side of the goal. I love being able to play to the target guy and then being back and get the ball back and scoring, getting the guys on the outside involved as well. And when they removed the bumpers on the outside and it was just a 4v4, a 5v5 in a really tight area, love me some of that. The competition level at that point, that's when you would see it rise and everybody get to that level where, all right, we're going to push each other to what sort of what Frank was talking about, is that usually was sort of the attacking players against the defending players, lighting challenge start flying, competition gets to a point where it becomes why you play the game. It's a sort of fun that takes you to a place where this is the reason why I'm here, to play this sort of games and to compete at this level.
Checker.
That's so nice.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Let me see. How lucky and blessed you all were to be able to do it for a job.
Well, I have to say, I think I played my best football for West Ham City in my first spell. The goalkeeping coach, Les Seeley, may he rest in peace, got the best out of me. Loved working with Les every single day. Easily my favorite session. One day he goes to Harry Redknapp. He says, Harry, I'm going to take the keepers running. We need to get some. Piles us all in his car. We go to the local coffee shop. We all just buy tea, sit around, just have a chat, and then go back. And he's like, yeah, we're random hard. Easily my favorite session ever.
And easily your favorite coach ever.
And easily my favorite coach ever.
I mean, he knew you. He knew.
He played to my strengths. Yes.
He knew how to get the very best out of you.
Absolutely.
Let's do nothing.
No, to be, they were lifting teas and coffees, you know, heavy lifting.
What a man.
Frank,
what a man.
The next yes. person would like to know, how often do you shave your head?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. Yeah, that's a, every two other days, I would say, like between three and four times a week.
I feel as though I should ask you the next question as well, Frank. Are the guys excited for the FIFA Best Awards? And who do you think will win the best player?
Oh, my God. Good night. It's late. Good night. Leave me alone. I don't want to talk. Talk to Ali.
Don's having a good think about it.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm the mind's blown saying, why have you chucked that little bomb to Frank so late?
Because it'll you. Keep Thank him you. Up at night. Like Seth's comment about Kante carrying Jorginho for you. Right. For all of you, I'll start with you, Shaka. Would you rather Frank read you a chapter from his book.
Mm. In French, of course.
Eat pineapple pizza with Dan while he's wearing shorts.
Huh?
Have Craig as your therapist, or have Stevie make you spaghetti with Gab beside him, giving him instructions.
Okay, I will take Frank reading me a chapter from his book in French. 100%. The other options, they're just gross.
Shaka.
Yeah, I think. And you see, this is one. This is by default.
Yes, yes.
none of them is sign up for. But you have to go for Frank. You have to go for Frank reading his book.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it just.
I agree with you again. The chapter are very short on top of it, so they can be released very quickly. You know.
See, this is not one you choose. You eliminate three.
Yes.
And you just have. I gotta listen to Frank read this book.
But the worst. You know, you would think that Craig as your therapist would be a bad one, right? Obviously. But Gab talking about how to make spaghetti, that's just...
I've heard...
With Stevie making it.
But yes, of course.
I've heard Craig offer some marriage advice. That was interesting. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, we will leave it at that. I don't know where that one would go to. Don, what would you like?
Do you know what? Just for the pure comedy factor, I'd love to see Stevie try to make a spag bol, because I think in the end, he would just pour some stout or some lager or beer.
Let me give you some advice. Why don't you say spag bol, that term, to Gab and see how it goes down with the Italian?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's some advice for you.
Yeah. See, that's a problem.
Remind me.
For all the enjoyment that you get from Stevie fixing the spaghetti, Gab takes that. All of it takes it away. I mean, and he makes it even worse, exponentially worse. Whatever you think of enjoyment you're going to get from seeing Stevie cooking, Gab is going to kill all of that.
Here's my challenge with that. You might enjoy watching Stevie cook a spag bol, but inevitably you're going to end up parting a fight between Gab and Steve. And nobody wants to be in the middle of that fight. Ever.
But you don't just want to see Stevie mess it up on purpose, just so Gab's head's just blown.
He wouldn't need to do it on purpose. I think he probably would mess it up anyway. Frank, I want to include you in this. So we take out the chapter, you reading a chapter of your book.
No, keep it in. You have to read yourself a chapter. Keep it
in. He'll take that. He'll take that.
Okay, we'll keep it in. Would you rather eat pineapple pizza with Dan while he's wearing shorts in a restaurant?
Nah, no.
Have Craig as your therapist or have Stevie make you spaghetti with Gab giving him instructions?
I will definitely take Dan with shorts with his pizza, and I will take the pizza and throw it into his face, you know, and make sure I put the pineapple in his ears. Because that's impossible.
And that's what he gets for wearing shorts to a restaurant. Anyway, thanks so much for your great questions.
Stranger turn than I thought.
There were a few strange turns tonight.
Can you imagine the condescending tone of Gab as Stevie's fixing the spaghetti? Oh, no.
We'll see what Gab has to say about this.
Imagine it done.
Anyway, thank you so much for being with us on the latest edition of Extra Time. Join us every day on ESPN FC. We are available 7 days a week.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.